Welcome to another episode of Shypedia, Chicago Media for the People. This is Marsha Marsha, and today is a really special day because I have a legend in the studio with me. A lot of you may remember him from films such as The Five Heartbeats. The Temptations.
Ain't nobody coming to see you, Otis. You wish you could work it the way I do, but you can't, because there is only one David Roth. Without him, the Temps ain't nothing but a group in search of a David Roth.
Oh, let's say above the rim.
What do you want from me? Want to put my arm around your shoulder, little brother? Help you with your homework? Pat you on your ass and tell you done good? What the f*** do you want from me?
Just heard you was leaving. Let me tell you goodbye.
Okay, I'll add one more. Cool Runnings.
Mr. Coolis, please. You have to run the race over.
I'm sorry, Darius. Nothing can be done.
But I was born to compete in the Olympics.
Then you're going to have to work on your boxing or your cycling. Those are the only other two sports in which Jamaica competes.
I am not a boxer. I'm a runner. And it wasn't fair.
It rarely is, my boy.
I have Mr. Leon Robertson in the studio with me. Welcome.
How you doing? I think most people just know me by Leon. They probably were Leon Robinson.
You know
who is that?
I know, but that's your government name.
Yeah, exactly. So but you know, but unless you sending me a check, you can just call me Leon.
Just call you Leon. You know, when I was told about you coming, I said that's all I knew. You
right.
know,
that's
you're
what
right.
Most people
you're
know,
absolutely
just Leon, right.
Right. Leon. Okay, Leon. Well, welcome to Chicago.
Well, thank you so much. It's happy to be here. Happy to be here with you.
Okay, well, I'm happy to have you here.
Great.
Is Chicago like one of your favorite places right now?
I do love the Chi, without a doubt. You know, I love coming here. I've been lucky enough to perform here quite a few times. And so it's definitely one of my favorite cities, without a doubt.
Okay, so we're all good in that area. But right now, you're in the city for a reason, though. You're doing a panel.
Well, it's about the entertainment industry.
Okay.
You know, it's about people that want to get into entertainment, specifically if you want to be an actor or an actress or a producer, how to get started. And if you have produced something, how to get it out there. How to, you know, get your foot in the business. I'm lucky enough to be on a panel with some other experts, you know, from casting directors to producers to TV programmers, and give people knowledge. You know, knowledge is key. And lots of times when you're not in places like New York or L.A., where your next door neighbor is a director or producer, you know, you lack that knowledge, which you need to get into the business. And in a place like Chicago, which is the number three media market in the country, you know, there's lots of opportunities here, but you need to know what to do and how to prepare yourself. And that's what this is about.
Absolutely. And Chicago is one of those places where, you know, I see a lot of struggling artists or people, like you said, who wants to be in the industry and they feel like they must leave Chicago in order to do so. So that's pretty much one of the things that you're going to cover in this panel, correct?
Oh, yes, without a doubt. You know, the Entertainment Workshop is exactly about that. It's about being able to, you know, do whatever you want to do from where you are, because Chicago is a place where you can do it.
Yes.
You know, there's enough film production here. There's enough theater here. There's enough arts in general here in this city for you to accomplish what you need to accomplish to where, you know, L.A. and New York are start calling for you.
Okay. Now, can you give me two key things to someone out there that's listening? What can keep them here in Chicago? How can they go about their career here?
Well, what can keep you here in Chicago is one is preparing yourself. You know, the most important thing, you know, people always talking about, oh, I need an opportunity. I need to, you know, be discovered or whatever. Well, you can get the opportunity, but if you're not ready, it's not going to happen. You know, so you need to study. You need to prepare yourself. You need to, you know, do community theater, do workshops, be in class, you know, explore your craft. You know, if you're a producer, produce. You know, make things. You know, whether they're short films, you can make films on your iPhone. You know, tell stories. I mean, at the end of the day, we're storytellers. That's what we are. Whether we're an actor or an actress, whether we're a producer, director, writer, we're telling stories. And and we're giving them out to people, and people are either, they're either resonating with people or they're not. So you need to prepare yourself to be able to tell a story in whatever capacity you're going to be in that story, whether you're the director, the writer, the producer, or the actor or actress. You know, immerse yourself in it. And but also don't do it for the wrong reasons, too, because in this time that we live in, social media is so big.
Yes.
And, you know, we have these little overnight stars, you know, and but that's not what a career is built on. And if you want to have a career in this business, you must realize that you need to apply yourself. You need to be able to take the opportunity. Even if you do become popular on social media, what do you do now? You know, do you just, you know, ride this little wave until the next person comes along?
Now, there's only been a few people that we know of that's actually made it big off of social media. Now, I know you've been in this thing. You've been doing this thing for decades now. Mm-hmm. So when you first started out, there was no social media.
Right.
So what did you do to prepare you to get to where you are? What were some of the steps that you took?
Well, the steps I took is I studied. I trained to be an actor.
You went to school for that.
Yeah. I mean, I switched my major when someone had discovered me when I was in college and became a drama major. Mm-hmm. And then I studied acting at American Academy of Dramatic Arts. And, you know, we had a whole curriculum, you know, which I would, you know, we do scene study in the morning. I'd have to take jazz and ballet in the afternoons and, you know, and sing. And, you know, so it was I worked at it. You know, I'm not here by accident.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
You know? And so, and I think, you know, people, you need to apply yourself, but you also need to be ready for rejection, because this is a business.
It's going to happen.
Where you're rejecting almost all the time.
Uh-huh.
You know, and if it's not almost all the time, that means you're probably successful.
And so, obviously, you've dealt with a lot of rejection.
Oh, yeah. I mean, every day of everybody's in this business life, they deal with rejection in some form or another.
Was there a role that you auditioned for that you didn't get?
You know, I don't really have those stories, you know.
Okay.
No, I mean, I have more stories where, you know, people... the heads of the studios brought me in to do a movie, and they wanted me for the role.
They already knew who they wanted.
They wanted me for the role, uh-huh. And then for whatever strange reason, it wound up not happening.
Mm.
You know, whether the marketing department decided they needed to go with, you know, two sitcom stars because, you know, that's the only people that they think, you know, black people know.
Uh-huh.
At the time, you know, as opposed to, you know, someone who was a successful actor like myself.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, there was things like that that had, you know, really nothing to do with me, my performance or my craft. It had to do with the marketing at the studio or what they thought.
Right. Okay. So you're a multi-talented person. You act, as we all know, mm-hmm. and now you're a singer as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so which came first? Was it the singing or was it the acting?
You know, it's really hard to say. I mean, I studied to be an actor. But, you know, when I was a freshman in college, I wrote and performed a song for the Special Olympics. It was just something that I always loved to do, singing. And I guess once I became a successful actor, I started emceeing a lot of festivals, music festivals, and then became friends with a lot of musicians. And we'd be backstage, you know, singing a cappella, whatever. And they would discourage me. They said, listen, man, you should sing, not because you have to or because you want to and you can.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and so one thing led to another. I wound up joining this band, and next thing you know, I didn't want to stay in this band because I wanted to do original music, not cover music. And so I formed my band, The Peoples, and then I had to pull a David Ruffin on and become Leon and The Peoples because we got better shows that way.
Leon and The Peoples.
Right. And so now I'm happy to say, you know, we just released our second album, our first on a record label, Spectre Records.
Okay.
The reviews have been great. The new single that actually has Jimmy Buffett on it as well. It's called Sometimes I Wish I Was Single.
All right.
And people are loving it.
And sometimes I wish I was single.
Yeah.
I can't believe I'm saying it out loud.
Oh, yeah. Well, you should say it because, you know, it was a concept song. It's a song. I wanted to write a song that about something that everybody feels.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, and it's even if you're in the most successful relationship possible, you even if it's for 10 minutes out of the day or one day out of the month, you wish you were single just so that you were free to do whatever you wanted to do that didn't affect someone else, whether it was your kids or your husband or your boyfriend, you know, your you go to tell your man that, you know, your girlfriend that he don't like, just invited you to Costa Rica, all expenses paid. And he says, oh, hell no. You know what I'm saying? You're like, damn. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, oh, your boy invites you, tells you got courtside seats at the NBA All-Star game. And your wife says, no, that's the weekend we go with my mother-in-law.
So that's that moment I wish I was single.
Yeah. You know, but the real thing is, you know, sometimes I wish I was single is really a love song.
Uh-huh.
You know, because the second part of the hook is, sometimes I wish I was single so we can go back to the day that we met, so we can meet up and mingle and fall in love all over again.
Because, there's a twist. I like this.
Right, because everyone knows the beginning's always the best.
There
you know,
is.
When you first meet somebody,
stage.
You know, it's like, you know, every time you see your man, every time you see your woman,
or see that phone number
great.
Pop up.
Yeah, you know what it's going to be like when you see them. You know, there's no mortgage payments. There's no kids. It's just you and them and falling in love. And so everyone remembers those days. And that's basically what the song is about. You know, it sounds like a bad boy song, but it's, you know, it's kind of it's a love song disguised as a bad boy song.
Okay. So we're going to go ahead and check that out.
Oh, yeah. Beautiful.
So that everybody can, you know, build their own opinion on this.
Of course.
All
right. Love that.
Let's see it. This is going to be Sometime I Wish I Was Single.
Sometimes. One time. Hear me say. Sometimes I wish I was single so I could do it over again. Go out and hang with my homeboys. Call one of my old girlfriends.
Y'all feel me? If I was single, I would stay out late. Watch NFL, NBA all day. No one to steal food off my plate. No one to take my balls away. I would flirt and not give a damn. Nothing to hide on my Instagram. Sorry you may not understand. Sometimes I wish I were a single man.
Sometimes I wish I was single so I could do it over again. Sometimes I wish I was single so we could go back to the day that we met. And we can meet up and mingle, fall in love all over again.
Sometimes I wish I was single. If I was single, there'd be no check-ins. No questions about where I've been. No covers pull off my toes. No one telling me where to go. If I was single, I would be carefree. No fussing about the toilet seat. Sorry, you may not understand. Sometimes I wish I were a single man.
Sometimes I wish I was single so I could do it over again. Go out and hang with my homeboys or call one of my old girlfriends. Sometimes I wish I was single so we could go back to the day that we met. And we can meet up and mingle.
Sometimes I wish I was single.
Oh, oh, oh.
Sometimes I wish I was single.
I wish I was single so I could do it over again. Go out and hang with my homeboys or call one of my old girlfriends. Sometimes I wish I was single.
All right, okay, I'm feeling that. Now, you know, I like this
sometimes
song. And the
I
first
single.
Time I actually heard it, I saw, you know, your ex, Cynthia Bailey. She actually posted this on Instagram.
Yes, she did.
And she's supporting it.
Family business. Yes, of course.
Okay, so would this kind of like have something to do possibly with that relationship with Cynthia
a
little bit?
No, not at all. You know, and one thing you said, my ex, because, you know, I don't... Cynthia's not my ex. I don't look at ex seems like it sounds like a negative thing. She's not my ex anything. Cynthia is like my best friend. She's my family. She's like my sister. She's the mother of my child. And so, you know, she's not my ex anything.
Okay.
Yeah, she,
I love
you know,
it.
Yeah, she we're family. You know, I mean, I leave, you know, first thing, you know, tomorrow morning to go get on a plane to meet her and my daughter to move my daughter into a dorm at Howard University.
Oh, you know?
So
okay.
We're very excited as a family, you know, and so, you know, there's nothing but love there. And, you know, this song doesn't really have to do about her. Is it, you know, it just.
But there is something there, though. Like, you know, when you think back, I mean, she was in your. I mean, when you first met her, it's just that feeling. You're reminded of that.
Oh, yeah. Very, I'm reminded of that feeling, you know, when I first met her and how beautiful that was. But I'm reminded how beautiful that was with, you know, all the women that have been in my life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but this song is not just about really about me. You know, we play music for the people.
Yeah.
That's what we call Leon and the Peoples. And it's about so many things from so many of my friends and things that they talk about. And, you know, it's that feeling that everyone gets, you know, because when I was writing this song, like I said, it was a concept song. So what is it that everyone identifies with?
Mm-hmm.
You know, man and women, whatever. And I remember this is a song that we performed about 3 times in concert. And midway through the song, people are singing it. And people come up to me after, oh, God, that's my new theme song. You know, and it's like, because they can all imagine what it's like, you know, to be single for a day or 10 minutes or whatever and just be able to do what I want. You know, I can sit back and in the living room in my drawers and just watch NBA all day and nobody say something. Are you going to get off the couch?
Uh-huh.
Are you going to do this? You know what I'm saying?
It's like an anthem.
Exactly.
It's an anthem.
You said it right now. It's something we all feel. It's really great because it's something that couples get together because it's like I say, it's about them both remembering what it's like when we first got together. You
okay,
know? It was beautiful, and you know, and the bridge is talking about, you know, I'd miss the home cooked meals, I'd miss, you know, the way you've always had my back, you know, all these little things if I were single. You know,
okay.
So I want you to know that I appreciate these things, you know, but I can't lie to you and say, but you know, now I wish I was single yesterday when my boy asked me to go to the game and you wanted me to do the, you know, what I'm saying?
Okay, so this song really reminds us too of the things that we need in a relationship. Okay, so when I checked out your Instagram,
mm-hmm.
and I have to commend you on this because being a black brother and me being a sister, I see a lot of positivity coming from you in regards to the black woman and in regards to any woman, black man, anybody. So you're spreading so much positivity out there. When it comes to relationships, however, as you stated, and I love how you said Cynthia is not your ex. And I think you're a great example. That's like a role model for other people to how you treat a woman. You know, what advice can you give to other people just so they know, like, if you have a child with someone or there's someone that you may not be on a certain level in a relationship, but however, you could still be friends. How do you go about doing that?
Well, for one, I just, you know, I consider myself a common sense brother.
Uh-huh.
And so I don't really look around and see how other people do things. I say to myself, what makes sense to me? You know, I've been lucky enough to have wonderful relationships with women my whole life. And if you know anything about me, I was raised as only male in my generation. And so I learned to love women, you know, before I wanted to have sex with them. You know, they were my friends, they were my sisters, they were my cousins, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was always around them and they always loved me. So I always felt like I was supposed to support them. As far as, you know, Cynthia, for example, and anyone who gives you a child, I mean, I've had many relationships, but only one woman has ever given me my heart, which is my daughter, Noelle.
Mm-hmm.
And for that, I hold her in the highest regard forever, you know, and she's a fantastic mother. And I feel incredibly blessed, you know, to have her as the mother of my child. And so, you know, to not respect her and not to love her in any way, you know, is just, I couldn't even imagine not doing that, you know,
okay.
And for whatever she needs. I mean, if you know anything about us, you know, Cynthia's, you know, has gone on to other relationships and been married and stuff. And I've coached her through that. I told, you know, whether how to get him to propose, how to do whatever, you know, because I, her happiness is paramount to me, you know, and I don't know how any man who has, you know, a child with a woman and she's raising that child, you got to realize her happiness is that child's happiness, you know? And so you need to, that needs to be important to you. It needs to be something you need to nourish. It needs to be something that you need to make happen, you know, with the mother of your child. And so that's what makes sense to me. That's how I am. That's what I do.
Oh my gosh. You know, this should be a whole campaign because things don't last forever in relationships. I mean, people are in your life sometimes most of the time for a reason, and they don't always last. But some people just don't see it that way. There could be a friendship. And I love how you guys do that.
You know, our album, my band's album is called Love is a Beautiful Thing. And it's about all aspects of love. It's about love. There's a song in there called Happy and Sad, because that's really what love does. It makes you happy and it makes you sad. You know, there's a title song called Love is a Beautiful Thing, which is something you just alluded to right now. It's about that real love. It's not the kind of love that you have that when you're not sleeping with someone after you spent 5, 6, 10 years with them, going through deaths and families and holidays, all of a sudden you don't even know where they are in the world, how they're doing, anything. That's not real love to me. I'm talking about the love you have for your brother, your sister, your aunt, your uncle. There may be days you hate them, but you always love them.
Unconditional.
You know? And it's like if I was going out with someone, or, you know, if I was, you know, what my friend used to say to me, Butch Lewis, slobbering on the same pillow with somebody for years, right? I mean, I care about them forever. I want to know how they're doing. I want to know, you know, how their kids are, you know, and their husband. And, you know, that's, you know, people, you know, we've been brainwashed in this society with sex. And it really blows my mind that it's even an issue. We're still seeing front page news that, you know, about someone, you know, sleeping with someone else, whatever. Really? That's front page news? I mean, look at history. It has always been that way. It will always be that way. We will always be having sex with one another. Boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife. It will never change. Why do we even talk about it? It's just, it blows my mind. And we spend so much time thinking about the sex and who we're having with or not having with, that we don't think about the person and the real relationship and what it's really about. You know, it's like anyone to tell you. I remember walking into a trailer one time and I was doing a movie, and it was a big movie, and so it's a bunch of makeup artists there and hair people. And I said to them, "How important is sex in your relationship?" Yo. Oh, see, all the women there were married. They started laughing. They started laughing. They go like this. Not important at all, because if it was, I wouldn't be married. You know what I'm saying? It's right. Like, because, you know, life becomes about these other things. It becomes about, you know, the house note, the school, kids, moving, you know, soccer practice, you know, college, you know, all these other things. And it's like sex is like this fraction of your life. Yet you're basing everything on it. People actually will throw away a marriage because someone wound up doing something with someone else, and you're throwing away you're hurting your kids, you're destroying your life and everything else over something that is the most human thing that we will ever do. It's no different than eating or going to the bathroom. We will always have sex, okay? Unless we will not be around, okay? So why is it a big issue? Why are you flooding your life and your consciousness with this nonsense? I see when you're a teenager, this is important. But when you're grown, you should know better.
Uh-huh. Yep. Hello.
Thank you.
We need to have you either write a book, or we need you just to be the
my
love.
My friends tell me that all the time.
Right. Right. Because you preaching to us right now. Like, we all need this. It's ridiculous. Sex is going to be there, and it always has been there, and it's not going to stop. You can't control it. I mean, it is what it is.
Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to figure out what's the big issue with it. You know what I'm saying? Like, really? But like, we are brainwashed in so many ways when it comes to sex. Or, like, for example, you could walk in on a woman in either a dressing room or whatever, a bathroom, and she's in her underwear, and she will completely lose it, freak out. Meanwhile, you'll see her on the beach with a thong on, which is covering nothing.
Absolutely.
And it's okay. Like, really? Like, we have this warped thing when it comes to sex. And me personally, I'm not buying it. you're not freaking me out with all this nonsense. I mean,
okay, so you are a love expert. We're gonna add that to your.
I don't know if I would say that.
I would give you your credits. You know, you've just preached a whole lot. That was some money right there.
Okay.
So let's talk about the Five Heartbeats. A timeless film. It was, one of the best films ever made. Okay. And you've worked with some other talented people. I mean, you think they'll bring something back about the Five Heartbeats? Or?
Well, they are actually. Robert has produced and directed a documentary called Making of the Five Heartbeats.
So there's going to be like a reunion.
And it will be in about 500 theaters this month on August 27th, Monday, August 27th. Get your tickets now. It's a Fathom event. And go see all the behind the scenes footage of us, you know, rehearsing, learning songs, getting into one another.
How long was this process?
You know, the process, I think we were in rehearsals for at least 7 weeks before we started filming.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
7 weeks, that's it?
Yeah.
That's it?
Yeah.
I mean, the film is just, oh my gosh.
Yeah, and the similar thing with the Temptations. You know, the only thing with the Five Heartbeats, which was more difficult, is that we were in rehearsal for a while before we actually had the songs. Mm-hmm. It was still choosing songs. Mm-hmm. You know, the Temptations, you know, the songs are already there.
Yeah. Okay. You know, you mentioned Robert Townsend. He's a legend, another legend.
A Chicago legend. You got two Chicago legends in that film. Yeah. Yes. And Harry Lennox.
Yes. And I feel like, man, this guy, I think I would like to see him out there more. He needs more recognition because he's done a lot. He's really done a lot for African Americans in film as well. You know, so it hits home a little bit because I have a brother. And growing up, I think he's like Robert Townsend's son because he looks identical to Robert Townsend. But I'm like, I'm a huge fan. Going back to the comedy, oh gosh,
Hollywood Shuffle.
Yeah, Hollywood Shuffle.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, all time favorite, classic. Okay, so we're gonna be able to catch the Five Heartbeats in 500 theaters.
The making of,
and I'm surprised like they had all this footage that they took of you guys during this process. I mean, this was years ago.
Yeah, Robert was big on having things filmed and you know the whole process, and so I have yet to see it, but I've been interviewed for it, so I'm anxious to see it myself. It's going to be
so I'm sure it's going to be a red carpet time. Where are you going to be at?
I don't really know where I'm going to be and what theater I'm going to be, but different heartbeats are going to show up at different theaters.
Okay,
so be prepared.
All right. Anything else you want people to know out there? You have any motivational words other than love?
The most important thing is prepare yourself. You know, you may be given an opportunity to do something, but if you're not prepared, then it doesn't really matter. That opportunity will just fade away and just be an opportunity, something you never got a chance to seize. So be prepared. Prepare yourself. If you want to have a career in something like anything else, you prepare yourself. I mean, I've made this my career, and it didn't happen by accident. It happened because I prepared myself. So that's what I would tell everyone. I'd also like to let people know that I'm about a couple upcoming projects I have.
Okay.
Let's see, where do I start? I have a couple of new series coming out. One is called 40 and Single, which is an international TV show shot in Accra, Ghana, the motherland. And it will air on the UMC channel. And also A Love Tale, which is about four women living and loving in Harlem.
for women living
and loving in Harlem.
What does that mean?
What do you mean? What does that mean?
For women living and loving. It's not
kind of like, okay, kind of like a Sex in the City.
Okay. I got it. Okay. Yeah. I like those type of films.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's a series.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Yeah. I just caught up on Insecure. So something almost like that, right?
Maybe. And I don't know if it's like that, you know, because, it's a bit more provocative.
Oh, yeah, okay.
To say the least.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
And also, I just wrapped a movie for BET Viacom, which will air in October, called Her Only Choice. It will air for Breast Cancer Awareness Month because it revolves around breast cancer.
Mm-hmm.
A real tearjerker.
Okay.
I know the ladies love that. And I have a movie which will actually be here at the Change Fest. It's a short film that's been getting a lot of awards and a lot of selections, called Make America Black Again, in which I direct, produce, and write. I play a candidate running against the Trump administration with a campaign slogan to Make America Black Again with an entire white campaign staff.
Wow.
Yeah, okay. So it's a bit political satire.
And we can catch this. We can find this where again?
Oh, it's in the film festival run.
So
But it's going to be here at the Change Fest.
And when is the Change Fest?
Change Fest is starts September 28th. 29th and 30th. My band, Leon and the Peoples, will be performing on the opening night gala at the DuSable Museum on the 28th. And so, come on out, see my band, and then also come see Make America Black Again that same weekend.
All right. We get 2-in-1. That's great. All right. So we're looking forward to it. We'll be sure to follow you and also put your info out there, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Or
please check out my Instagram. You see a lot of information there, and my band's website as well, which is leonandthepeoples.net. And my Instagram is www.justleon.
Oh, that's a little different.
What happened? Someone took Just Leon, because that's my website and my Twitter, and wanted me to pay them to get it back. And I said, you know what? I'm going to throw a few W's in front of it and keep it moving.
All right, Leon. Well, thank you once again for joining me here. Next time you're in town, please feel free to visit. And actually, maybe you can hit the stage the next time you're here.
Oh, that would be great. Yeah, my band's going to be here, performing live on TV and stuff like that as well. So maybe we just pop in here and do a song.
Okay.
Yeah,
we'll set that up.
We'd love to perform.
Okay, we'll set that up. So right. We'll support. All right, this is Shypedia.
Shy, 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 shy.